defense, and that says a lot. Here comes McCready. Oh, he just sucked the gravity right out of the building. What a play by T-Man.
How about the passion? Look at the animation on Tracy McGrady. Normally sleepy-eyed, very smooth. You don't see this kind of energy and passion. David Aldridge talked about it's playoff time. Look at the extension. Sean Bradley.
The crowd is oohing and aahing as we just did ourselves.
Well, let me give you a little quote that Jeff Van Gundy gave me today. He said, I talked to Tracy McGrady about being a guy who can unite his team with his passing and inspire him with the great plays and passion. That was inspirational. That was an inspirational move.
So the weekend is upon us, and after having a few minutes of technical difficulties, we are here. How's your week been, friend? You're all right, you're alive.
Hey, bro, it's been a fairly busy week. I've enjoyed work. Work has been dramatic. It was a great yarn talking again with you on Tuesday. Whetted my appetite to talk sports again, got interested in basketball again, for instance sake, you know, all since I've watched the NBA, we always troll one another about the Bulls or the Lakers or the Celtics, none who are going to win anything.
My week's been good. I've been on holiday from work, and then... Yeah, so things always happen when you're not around. That's all I'm gonna say. But after the trade deadline, I was particularly pissed off with the Chicago Bulls because they haven't made any moves for 3 years, 2 years. I can't deal with that anymore. It's hellishly frustrating, especially if you're a fan.
I mean,
I don't know if it's even really down to ownership anymore, but maybe it is. Maybe it's resting on your laurels. Maybe it is really looking at everything as a business and not thinking about, what's brought you forward. But we are going to focus on the URC. We're going to talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend, particularly the All-Star Game. And we will do some odds betting because my friend over here, I'm going to learn all these things. He's going to teach me how to do it, how to actually read the lines properly because I'm
getting it out there. Make sure South African team, South African folks, because the market is open to you guys. Hollywoodbets.net, that's where all the lines are. All is subject to change. Weather can influence these things. Referees. Injury.
I don't know if the weather's going to influence the basketball court.
If it rained inside the court in Indiana, I'd be very, very worried. So, yeah, that would be like a worry. Like, what kind of witchcraft is this? Mr. What's his name? The one from Cameroon. Keep forgetting his name now. Hey, bro, what witchcraft have you brought from West Africa now?
Huh?
If it rained inside Indiana, what's the Indianapolis Center, the court? If it rained inside, that, look at big Joel Embiid.
They look at Joel Embiid, or they look at Pascal Siakam. They'll be like, "Hey, what's going on?" Chief, what are you doing now? Actually, as we're there, let's start there. So. It's the usual stuff. It's Friday. NBA, obviously, most people, they gear up for Saturday night and Saturday afternoon. Friday, I think they kind of all get there. Mm-hmm. Saturday is then the dunk contest, three-point contest, skills challenge, couple of games here or there, celebrity game. And of course, on Sunday is All-Star Weekend. And I mean, it's actually been quite a crazy ride into the All-Star Weekend anyway. I mean, a lot of teams have all of a sudden started making a few leaps. I mean, the Warriors have all of a sudden started playing a little better.
Yes.
The Lakers have been here and there. Mm-hmm. They've been on a little bit of a run lately. You know, the Bucks and Doc Rivers, I don't know. Having issues, I think. I mean, it's going to happen when you bring in a new coach sort of at, you know, almost midway through the season. You've got to get used to a different voice, a different mentality, a different ideology. But I think they'll be all right. I mean, he is a damn good coach. Excuse me. Sorry, now it's out.
Yeah,
he is a damn good coach. He,
yeah, because they're on a 3-7 snap in the last 10 games, as I've seen. And, yeah. Which means
I mean, I think that's... But I think that's going to happen. Eh? I think that's sort of down to it. I mean, the most impressive one I saw this week, it was the Warriors beating the Clippers. Excuse me, there was also a little bit of... No, the Warriors beat the Clippers.
What? I thought for some reason...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, it got a bit testy because, I mean, even... No, wait, I'm wrong. Wait, what was this? This was yesterday. Oh, so they had a game yesterday, but there was another one the other... I think this isn't a back-to-back. Because the other day... Okay. So the other one, in LA, they won that game. And even Draymond was out here flashing his, you know, four rings, you know, type thing to Paul George. But then last night, the Clippers won 130-125. These scores are ridiculous.
Modern basketball, eh?
Yeah, I'm not. Look, I have a whole thing. I just don't think they're playing defense. I mean, let's just get real.
Downtown, you want Curry? Curry's about to stand. Oh, I can just hit 3 points for fun. Swara. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I wonder if part of that is obviously that's the way the game has gone, and obviously that's the way the game is now played, where the three-point line, obviously, in analytics have changed everything. But, you know, to me, it's just like there is something still so pure about playing really hard team defense and drive, you know, and the lane, you know, the lane was never this wide open. And, okay, the game evolves and people want high scores, apparently. But I think also that physicality aspect of what the game isn't there as much, you know. We don't need what the 1980s was and the early 90s basketball, but you know, there's still a beauty to the physicality of the game, the physical parts of the game, where you you know, passing the ball around, you know, you make the open shot, that kind of thing. But okay, be that as it may, I could go on for ages. So, Sunday night's All-Star game is what everybody's going to be looking at, really. And let's have a little gander at the rosters. Okay, so they've gone back to Eastern Conference and Western Conference.
Because that gimmick was not working. That shimmying was not working. It was kind of like, okay, we know you're trying to keep our interest, but nah, this ain't it.
It just... It was strange. It's like that. In that they really, I mean, in the first two, 3 years, maybe it was great. And I think then the players started saying, oh, but we actually really want to have this East versus West rivalry and we actually want to play. And I think they've made, you know, the incentive higher so that, you know, it pushes the teams to, the guys to play, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. Man, look, when I was growing up, remember when you look at the power of those rosters back then, us 90s children, like, good grief, it's Hall of Famer from here to San Francisco and back to Cape Town, South Africa. My goodness. And those players played hard. I don't know where the demotivation came from, but we all know that All-Star games were proper wars up until they won the league.
I mean, I could blame something that changed everything. I blame the Pro Bowl.
I really do agree, because I mean, think about it. It makes sense that people don't play in the Pro Bowl, because I don't want to miss the Super Bowl if I am in the Pro Bowl.
That's fine. Yes. That side of it is fine. Yes, yes. Sorry to cut you off. Yes. That side of it is fine. If your team is in the Super Bowl, all right, you're not going to be in the Pro Bowl. But the Pro Bowl is literally like touch rugby.
That's true.
They're just, you know.
I don't even watch
it. They're not really. They're not trying, and then it's boring, man. It's not, you know. Yeah, sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Now that you put the point, I mean, you look at the skills of Pro Bowls. Like, no, I don't even watch Pro Bowl anymore. I don't bother. Like, come on, guys. We know we want to watch these guys kill each other. And we enjoy going on YouTube and looking at videos of guys absolutely annihilating each other at the Pro Bowl, because there's a score to settle from what happened in the previous season or previous seasons. Now it's like, I don't want my Jared Goff or Lamar Jackson getting annihilated by Bobby Wagner because of Lamar absolutely stepped the holy hell out of him back in Baltimore 4 years. So yeah, I definitely hear you.
I mean, I see that, but it's just like, again, but yeah, story for another day. I blame the Pro Bowl. Okay. Because it just, to me, the last, I mean, may he rest in peace. I think Kobe Bryant was the one, like, he apparently would be the one in the All-Star games who would say, all right, let's play now. Okay. We've had fun. Let's play. I think always the All-Star games when MJ was competitive, this is not a, oh, it's LeBron's fault. It's not LeBron's fault. I think if he wanted to turn on the lights, he would. I think he just also enjoys having, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry to interject, because I had the privilege of attending all three NBA Africa games in South Africa, and Team Africa was always lacking in centers. I mean, I always noticed that we lacked centers, and that made them a little bit more motivated. They would fight. They would literally fight from the third quarter onwards, You know, we are all at, either we're in Randburg or in Pretoria or in downtown Johannesburg, and you're watching this game. And then from the third quarter, you know, when you're playing PS and it becomes serious, or Xbox, and then you hunch forward and then it's like you hide your jersey definitely is on. The NBA game, Africa game, actually got a lot more attention because these teams would fight and Americans would actually chew them. The ratings would show that those Americans would chew them. To actually see this intriguing contest that would be won by Team America, like, by usually 5 to 10 points. And it's sad that it's no longer happening for a reason. And, you know, that was the last time I feel I was very invested in an All-Star game of sorts.
Yeah, it's you know, like I said, it's tough to get yourself up for you know, the All-Star weekend or the All-Star games. And, you know, it's so much. I mean, the dunk contest, I love to watch the dunk contest. I mean, I love that thing. But, like, you know, now I'm like, I can watch the highlights in the morning. I'm good.
Thank you. Hey, you know, social media has
but, perfect, yeah. I know, right? But we digress. So, the lineups for the East All-Stars. Captain, going to be captained by Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Joel Embiid is not playing.
Good job.
Huh? Joel Embiid is not playing. Injured, will not play.
Wait, I haven't even got through the lineups yet. You. Okay, so Giannis is the captain, and, you know, he's on. But, yes, Joel Embiid will not play because he's injured. he would be the center. Would have been the starting center, but obviously, I'll tell you now. Then Tyrese Halliburton, he's the starting guard. Damian Lillard, starting guard, and Jason Tatum will be the other forward. So I'm guessing Bam Adebayo will now get the start as a center. Mm-hmm.
Bam looks like you don't want to.
Because he was on.
Sorry, he looks like you don't want to.
Nah. If he asks you for water, you give it to him. And then Paolo Banchero, he's on the bench. Good player. Really good, solid player for the Orlando Magic. And young, right? I mean, he's got the ability to make shit happen. Scotty Barnes is an injury replacement for the Toronto Raptors. Jaylen Brown is on the bench again. Jalen Brunson is on the bench from the New York Knicks. Tyrese Maxey's on the bench as well. Donovan Mitchell, Julius Randle, and Julius Randle will not play as he's injured. And Trae Young is on as an injury replacement.
Donovan Mitchell is averaging 28.4 game points a game.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, and he's on the bench.
6 assists and 5.4 rebounds again. Yeah, but you know what it boils down to? It's fan favorites. But then, when you look at Tyrese Halliburton, look at his assists. It's 21.8. Mm-hmm. Points per game, 11 assists a game, with 3 rebounds a game. So, like, if you're in that market and you're watching him a lot, you know, his impact on the team versus Donovan Mitchell. I mean, okay, Donovan Mitchell is a volume scorer, has always been a volume scorer, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, but it goes down to fan votes, right? Yeah, so, then Team West. Captain by LeBron James, Luka Doncic,
hey,
Kevin Durant,
the big daddy of the game. Sorry,
like
Luka Doncic, man. I'm sorry. Handles on this man. It's not right.
Yeah, he's also like. I mean, is he 25 yet? Like, he's really young.
9.5 and 8.8 rebounds. This guy is almost averaging a triple double a game. He's the closest.
Mm-hmm. He's almost a walking triple double. Yeah. He's almost a walking triple double. Kevin Durant. I mean, yeah. We could talk about Kevin Durant forever and a day. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I've never known how to say his name. 31.1, 6.5 assists a game and 5 rebounds a game. LeBron 24.8, 7 assists per game. 7.8, so almost 8 assists a game. Well, why are you doing that to LeBron?
No, bro,
LeBron's only a year older than me. So what are you trying to say? I'm almost 40. Why are you doing that? I'm just saying. Okay. Then we got Nikola Jokic. Oh, I mean.
look at that. 12 rebounds. 8.9 assists and 26 points. Like dog.
Crazy, right?
That is obscene.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think. Crazy to think.
I'm joking, white people, but yeah, no, I'm taking everything.
It's so funny because people are like, you know, you gotta work as hard as Jokic, and then, like, there was an interview about what he does, and he's like, I don't really think about the next team like straight after the game. I like go home, I sleep, I eat a little bit, then I wake up in the morning, then I start watching some film, then I go and shoot around, and then I might watch some more film, and then I'll play. Like, everybody's process is so different. He just plays the game because he's like a computer. He likes to read what he sees in front of him. You know, it's not, I don't know, everybody's like, you need to have the Michael Jordan, you know, don't sleep and play golf and drink and gamble and then go play. Not everybody can do that. That's ludicrous. So,
but it goes to show, if you've got a player like this, with those kind of numbers, it explains why the Denver Nuggets, who kept digging for that gold, finally struck it last season. Those numbers are obscene, bro. Those rebounds are obscene. That is crazy.
Well, they also have a really good... second player in Murray, yeah. Right? So if you've got two guys who can average 20, 23, 25, 26 plus, if you've got two guys who can do that, and then you've got a really solid core of role players, because that's really what it all is. Like, it's just playing your role, isn't it? I mean, if every, you know, as we'll talk about rugby, it's really about playing your role. And if your role is... if you play your role perfectly well, you know, you don't have to be a star. I mean, I always said the Shane Battier
on when, you know, when Miami won back-to-back 2011, 2012 or whatever, yeah, around there. I always said Shane Battier to me was the best player because he did, he plugged so many holes, but he's not going to get, you know, he's not LeBron, he's not D-Wade, he's not Chris Bosh, he's not going to get the notoriety, but hey, you know. So the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm. Finish, just Fangirl over Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic, this is Wikipedia, a Serbian professional basketball player who sent it to the blah, blah, blah. Nicknamed the Joker, and he's 28. He is regarded as one of the greatest players and centers of all time, and is often considered the greatest golf steal in NBA history.
You know what's really good? You know what's really gonna piss you off about him, yeah, is he wants to retire and go and race horses back home in Serbia.
Those poor horses. Are they gonna manage a 7 foot?
No. He doesn't. He doesn't. I don't. He doesn't sit on the thing.
Okay.
He. It's like as big as the damn horse. He's like as big as the damn horse. He's not gonna sit on the thing. Let me finish the roundup. Okay, so the bench for the West: Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis. Yes, it's right. Okay. This is where you're gonna go nuts. Anthony Edwards, the man is balling out. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Karl Anthony Towns. It's over with. That's the bench.
Hey! Woo.
That bench could arguably start.
I was gonna say, the guys with the betting.
I mean,
bets, guys. Your mom.
All I'm saying, you, and there's a decision you'd have to make. Like, if you had to start the bench, right? So you'd have to make a choice between Edwards and Booker. You'd have to make a choice, right? And that. You know, then you're going to start Curry, you're going to start Davis, because Towns can't hold Davis's jockstring, unless he's happy, unless he's not happy, but unless he's injured, and you know how that goes. Paul George will start, Kawhi will start, that defense would be nuts. So, I'm picking the West, the line from Hollywood Bets, shall we have a look?
Yeah, let's look at it, man.
Shall we have a look?
Let's look at it, man.
The line. So, this is what I read. So, tell me if I'm the East All Stars. The line is 1.13. For the West All Stars, it's 0.67. Yeah. So, for all of us who have no idea about sports betting, can you explain to us exactly what that means?
That would mean that the West All Stars are favorites. Fairly comfortable favorites in what will be a competitive, a game. And, you know, if you put money, you'll make more money choosing East All-Stars to win this one, but not by much. So, yeah, what that says.
So if I had it, yeah,
you know,
sorry.
If you had 100 Rand. You make 130 out of the All-Stars, East All-Stars winning, and if you had 100 Rand, you'll probably get 100 Rand back, like 101 Rand back on the West All-Stars winning. So there's not much going on.
So in order for me to really make money out of this, I got to put some teasers, because you guys don't have teasers like some other companies.
You might have to add other betting odds. 20 points, this team to concede this amount, and then that makes it tastier.
Also, like basically things like I could say, like, oh, Curry's gonna shoot four threes by halftime and make four threes, and then I'm gonna put $100 on that. I'm gonna put $100 then on the West to win. I'm gonna pick LeBron to get 12 assists in the game.
That will go on from betting 100 to 110 to 100 getting you 1,300.
So, hey, listen, I like the sound of that. That's not bad. Hey, Hollywood Bets, you know, like, since we're putting your name out there, you know, just help a brother out.
with that bit right there.
That boy in German.
I got. Listen, man, I got kids to feed. Hollywood Bears, what's up? You know, just.
Dude, isn't the first law that he's expecting support from South Africa? What is wrong with you?
We are shameless like the ANC, who said we solved load shedding, we solved crime, we solved. You didn't. You are lying to the people.
What was the size of?
Me, I'm voting. I'm telling you, but I'm voting ACDP. We need some faith back
in this thing. Like, no, my God.
And having said that, if we have listeners in South Africa, please register to vote, because it's really important. We might talk about sports, and we love sports, and we don't really look at. I live here where nationalism is on its way up, and I'm just, you know, people, you shouldn't complain if you didn't cast a vote.
A vote is
you cannot complain.
A vote is your right. It buys you the right to talk whatever nonsense you want.
Right. And I hope to see a bit more of... I'm interested to see... Maybe Hollywood Bets should do some odds on this, on seeing a coalition government. How so if the ANC wins 50%, but in order for them to change the constitution, they need that other 20-25%, and where they're gonna get it from? And is it gonna be the DA? The DA will hang themselves before they do that. And maybe if Malema is crazy enough, he'll say, yeah, me, I want to be president.
Betting odds.
Hey, listen. I mean, I reckon we should bet some weird shit like that, like just make it happen. But as it is a sports betting company, there is no real sport in that. But yeah, go and vote and say your piece. And yeah, regardless of whether your side wins or your side doesn't win, and whatever, whoever you vote, the important thing is you got out and you voted, because people actually fought and died for this, and it doesn't matter what your makeup or your background is, everybody has a hand in this, and everybody has an opportunity to make a difference, you know. And I think that's it. So sorry, we digressed a little bit. So The All-Star game, we've accepted that. Should we have a look at the dunk? We got this. So you know also that Steph Curry and Sabrina, what's her name? Ionescu, I think her surname is, they're gonna shoot it out. They're gonna shoot it out. What? It's going to be a head to head. It's called the Starry 3-point contest, and it's also before the AT&T slam dunk contest. All right, so here's what's happening. As part of the competition, Curry's Eat, Learn, Play nonprofit and UNESCO's SI20 Foundation will receive a donation from the NBA and the WNBA. How wonderful! In addition, each shot made by Curry and UNESCO will trigger a donation from State Farm to the NBA Foundation to support economic empowerment in the black community. Yay! Each regular 3-pointer made will be valued at $1,000, the money ball at $2,000, and the Starry range ball, a deep 3-pointer from 29 feet 9 inches away, I can't put that into meters or centimeters, at 3,000, it's over with. Steph winning that shit.
Steph winning that. What could be such an interesting?
I said yay. I said yay for economic empowerment in the black community. But I just also believe that everybody should have their piece of the pie. But right, well, if this is what we're doing, we are lifting up the brothers and sisters. Let's do it.
I like the political to NBA player going up against a WNBA player, because it means eyeballs all the same. It means we are going to be watching.
Absolutely.
Because like I said, going up to it,
absolutely.
I raised the first podcast we had. I was like, hey, what devastated me about the passing of Kobe, may sorest in pieces, that he would have been a goal that who had promised to be a probable WNBA great in Gigi Bryant. That was still touched to this day. Like, damn it. It's not the present that was lost. It was the future. And, you know, man. Yeah, this is good.
I mean, we also don't know if Kobe would have turned around to become a WNBA coach. We don't know.
Things like that. Interest in this. Like, you know what? You guys can talk nonsense about WNBA with your misogynistic and sexist shit on YouTube, but my name alone, I'm going to lend my name to the advancement of basketball among girls and women. And that's where the real tragedy is. But yeah.
Women's sports in general, man. So, as we wind down this segment, we're going to quickly shoot through the other things.
So we've got the three-point contest.
So, Malik Beasley, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Lauri Markkanen, Donovan Mitchell, Carl Anthony Towns, I can't believe that, and Trae Young. Dame winning that shit again. That's the 3-point. No, that's the 3-point.
Are you saying that Steph Curry wouldn't win? Oh, no, he's not in there. No.
I'm saying Dame is in it. Dame winning that shit again.
Okay.
Because Carl Anthony Towns is I can't, yeah. So, then the slam dunk contest is only 4 dunkers this year.
Really?
They are Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown. Jimmy Jacques of the Heat, Junior of the Heat. Matt McClung, G League, but also in the, I thought he was signed. All right. And Jacob Toppin. So, Matt McClung winning that shit again.
He's the defending champion, huh?
That's my take on that. Yeah, he's the defending champion, yeah. All right, let's take a break. We're back. We just had an interesting discussion, while we were off, and that was that it's the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game. They should put Cat Williams and Kevin Hart against each other, and them two motherfuckers should just two little midgets going at it. The whole world needs to see it. Okay, NBA, come on.
You have an unusual allegiance to lose. That's unlikely. These guys are trolling you with that damn meme, man.
Listen. Okay. Let's just give it some context before we start with the rugby. Who do you support in football?
Manchester United.
Yeah, it's tough times going there. I'm a closeted Manchester United fan. I'm waiting for Ten Hag to get out of there. Yeah, Orlando Pirates, yeah. So,
you really don't Ten Hag good, though.
Huh?
Do you really think Ten Hag is doing a bad job? Because I think he is trying to plug a sewer pipe.
I want Ten Hag to go to another team because I think it will be better for him. I think Ten Hag is coaching at a level that is above his players' intelligence quotient. I said it. Ragnarok, Thor. What was his name? Ragnar. He said
this team needs 11 new players. He and said it then.
Thank you. It needs open-heart surgery. But that's where I interrupt you. That's what's happening now. Sir Jim is literally overhauling the entire backroom staff. Like, front office, backroom staff, they are being overhauled. Perhaps now can Hugg's vision, because he turned Ajax back into a juggernaut. So that's why these needed all time. That's what I'm saying.
Again, I don't blame Ten Hag. I blame the player base, because the signings have been bad. The youth pathway has not been great since Alex is gone. Right, so it's not gotten better. But anyway, the Proteas, I shame. We know you support them. Baltimore Ravens. So you understand why we're sending you this.
There's this meme of Cat Williams saying, "I've got an allegiance to a bunch of losers." Miles, William, you can kiss my ass.
He said, what does he say? So, we're going to focus on the URC. The URC. And it's going to be quite a thing, because I'm told that the players, the South African players, the South African teams, that is, are going to be sporting either their club socks or their high school socks. Now, the school that I am attached to, obviously, is going to be very excited. Because, you know, image is everything. But it's a rugby's put it out. It's actually quite a cool thing. I think it's quite cool. It pays homage to the schools. It puts the pathway in again. You know, what is important, why is strong, you know, and a lot of us also forget, you know, again, schools don't make or break you. There are some guys who bloom later on in life, right? That happens. And you don't have to be a Craven Week, you know, a Craven Week sort of product. Some guys, they bloom later. Some guys, they come out of nowhere. Some guys, it comes together in club rugby, and, you know, so. But the pathways for schools is really, really cool. And it's pretty cool to, you know, as an old Bishop's boy, to have the 12 and the 13, you know, that they're gonna be wearing their socks. I guess Nizam. I think Nizam is in the lineup for the Bulls. I think he'll be wearing his socks.
Lehman Hartenberg.
Yeah, but that's, like I said, that 12 and the 13 for the Stormers will be sporting their thing, and I think that's cool. You know.
Adding to this point, now that we've all picked up, and it's a point I like making to Miles and William and our group, the amount of Springboks that are now tumbling out of unfancied high schools in every corner of this country is remarkable. You've got Ekau and Lihurutsi and Dantane and Petersburg and Potchefstroom. It's so great to know that our rugby is being strengthened by that diversity of the fact that, no, you don't need to be from a particular high school to be a Springbok. You just need to be talented, and you just need to be identified and backed.
So even this, I couldn't agree more. So even this, I'm looking at the Blue Bulls lineup. So, no, Nizam is still out by the looks of things. He's injured. But just listen to this. Gerhard Steenkamp went to Laar School, Mooi River. Right? Then I'm seeing Johan Krobler. He went to Paul Jim. Woer School, El Doreen, I guess, Mornay Smith. Who knew? Who would have thunk it?
Afrikaans woordskool. Ja, we know what that is, né? Woordskool Wonderboom, Norkia. Like, just woordskool Becker. These are, you know, these are not... Some of these schools are not... I've never even heard of Transvaalia High School. Okay, Paul Boys I've heard of. Woordskool Gaasfontein, never heard of you. Last school, Randfontein. I think this is perfect. Kanan Moody. Guess where Kanan Moody went to school?
I don't know.
Bulan Lanbo.
Oh, great. Okay. How about that?
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So it's cool.
I hope he scored against him.
You putting money on him to score?
I hope he scored against them back in
heaven. Well, say again, you hope what? You hope what?
You scored against them back in your day.
2005, yes.
Great.
It was quite an interesting try. it was like the ball was kicked over and then I kicked it forward again and the fullback kind of lost it and I just dove on the thing. And what are their names? The Bales, the younger brother. There's James.
Jonathan and James.
Jonathan. Jonathan used to have all these pictures of this, and he actually had this. I wish I was in touch with him. I don't know if he kept those pictures or what he did with them over time, but I'd love to see, because he actually had this particular moment. But yeah, so the Bulls play. So anyway, let's give praise to the schools. I think that's perfect, and I love that. And I think it's something that needs to happen more. But we should also be praising these sort of smaller, what we call quote unquote smaller schools, that give these guys an opportunity, that give them an opportunity to play, that bring them through, you know, because that's awesome, I think, and we don't praise that as much as we should. So there are two games, and we're taping this on Friday the 16th. There are two games which we're not really because we're not going to get this out before tomorrow. What do we say? Scarlet Llanelli versus Munster. Munster's got the draw there. Munster's, you know, gonna the odds are in Munster's favour there. Edinburgh versus Zebre. Edinburgh. But on Saturday, 3 o'clock. The draw is 20. The Lions are at 1.95. So the Lions are in. And the Bulls are at 0.44. What is your take on that?
The way in which the Lions have been such a bothersome, if they could rip the same sort of results that the Stormers did a couple of years ago on the way to winning the trophy, I wouldn't bet against that. These are the kind of games the Lions have been a bothersome out of. Do not be shocked if they beat the Bulls tomorrow. At Ellis Park, don't be shocked. This team is the most promising of all the South Africans in terms of what they can achieve in terms of ceiling. And it was going to be a good game. It's going to be a high-scoring and a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And there are potential Springboks in that Lions team as well. So,
Who are you looking at, sort of, in the Lions side of the ball?
Sanele Nohamba has been as good as ever. You know, he could be an addition in terms of a utility player, a utility scrum off and foul. Because he's not going to be a foul for the Springboks. But being such a good scrum off already, Rossi will be thinking about how do we incorporate them into the wider system, considering by 2027 there are going to be several retirements in that scrum position. There's Frankie Horn. Frankie Horn has been tipped as somebody who can be burning a fire under Lucanio Am's butt in the number 13 jersey.
How old is Lucanio Am, actually?
Lucanio Am. It's like 28 now. I think he's in the peak of his career.
Okay. Oh wow, he's in his prime now.
Yeah, he's in the peak of his career. That's what he gives you, that maturity of him being in.
Gives you that Ndala thing. Ah, he's 30. What are you lying about?
Oh yeah, sorry. You see, he's.
It's okay.
Yeah.
No, but also so. Jeez, Makazoli Mapimpi is 33.
Yeah, that's another guy. And talking of him, there's a winger for the Lions. They've got another good winger. He was a scrum cap. He was from the Stormers. he was the
one. Edwill van der Merwe.
Edwill van der Merwe. Who knows? Eh?
And boy can play, bro. Homie can play. You know where he went to? You know where he went to school?
Where?
Paul Roos.
Yeah, but you know, yeah.
Sanele Nahamba went to Durban High School. I'm looking at I love me some Edwill van der Merwe. I think he's electric. I think. I mean, if he cooks, you know, if you give him the chance to let him cook, let him cook, you know.
Remember how shocked I was when we let him go in 2021, and the Stormers let him. I was shocked. I was like, the Stormers better know what they're doing, and it turns out.
Did they?
Hey, look, okay, maybe because they didn't win. Hey, look, man, you with Leland Zuss has not been a disappointment. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I think they've made decisions that made us scratch our heads. You know. But they've made some decisions to rather invest in a future, build up guys that they can keep, that they know they can keep. And not have sort of, it could have been anything with Edwill van der Merwe. It could have been like, they saw him as an injury risk. Oh, they saw him. I don't know, because I'm not inside that camp. I have no clue. But you know what I feel and what I think is they do give away players, and we think, why are you giving them away? Sometimes they flourish in other places better. Sometimes they weren't what coaches, you know, because you know at the end of the day you're trying to build a group to work together, and maybe they weren't seeing that from him at the time. I don't know. Who knows?
I'm so shocked.
So
that one is going to be a good game of
the. So we've decided the line. So you are. We're going to focus primarily on the South African teams, because to talk about the other teams. So your feeling is the Lions can take this Lions one.
The Lions can. I'm not going to be shocked if the Bulls do, but the Lions have enough to ask the right awkward questions of Jake White.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. I'm trying to now find up the lineup for the Sharks. This is Storm.
Because this is an interesting game. If in terms of needing a result that will make us like go wow,
the Stormers, right?
It's the Sharks that need to make South Africa get up and listen, because they have fumbled in the URC. But they've done well in the European League of European rugby.
You're being very nice by saying they've fumbled. I mean, it's not been great. It's not been great. And I think a lot of it also, to me, just looking at the player base, who they have, is this team is, to me, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it, I feel like they've underperformed. And I don't know if it's a cohesion thing, if it's a ego. I don't know. I can't really put it out there. But to me, this is the game they need to get. It's at home. It's at the Shark Tank. It's a game they need to get. Are you going to be there tomorrow?
I'm going to be there. It's Shark's Face. Oh no, it's going to be fun tomorrow. It's going to be pumping tomorrow.
Of course, of course, it's going to be fun, because you hate Savannah Dry. So the Sharks lineup: Oxenchev, Mbata, Jacobs, Roots, Grobler, Fenta, Labuschagne, not Labuschagne, like the Australians like to say, Buthelezi, Hendrikse, Bosch, my man needs to come on and have a game, Mapimpi, Fenta, Kok, Fassi. On the bench, they have Bongi Mbonani, Mtunu, Worstays, and Andrews. Chituka, love me some Vincent Chituka, the mega player.
Very good player.
Davids, Masuku, Apiwe Dianti. Now, okay. What are we... Okay. Are we waiting for Apiwe Dianti to somehow reclaim this form? Or have these four years...
The man needs to take personal responsibility. Dude, you, in 2020, just before COVID, you were like, oh my goodness. Remember what the Sharks were doing in New Zealand on that Super Rugby tour?
Shredded. I mean, the Lions. He was in the Lions then. Who's at the Lions then?
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking fuzzy. Dianti, on the other hand. Sorry. Dianti is now around the peak of his career. He's still as fast as hell. He's bulked up. And, you know, I hope that he can rediscover that form. Because, hey, man, let's not lie. Mapimpi took his break. And we're not going to go into the reasons why he would have been the one at the World Cup in 2019. I won't go down. I want to keep my job. So, yeah, it should be fine. It should be.
I'll say it. At the time, Mance couldn't hold Apiwe Dianti's jockstrap. I'll say it. And if you go back to 2019, I maintain this as well. If there's no drag bust, the man is in the World Cup final, the man is winning the World Cup.
He's the one scoring that try. No, he's not even... Lucanium doesn't even chip it. Lucanium gives the ball to Dianti, and Dianti just smashes past England's number 9 and number
4. He could step somebody in a shoebox. That's how
and
good his step is.
It's the speed that he was doing that step.
Yeah.
It's stepping and remaining fast. How is that even possible, dude?
Yeah, I can't help you there. He's just talented. He's just better at it than a lot of people. It's kind of the thing that, you know, when you watch Fijian rugby, you're like, how did they change direction? And they just, it's just something somebody has. He has it in spades. And I'm just hoping that it comes together for him. We've waited long enough, waiting a long time. It takes a season. Does he need a little bit of Rassie psychology? Maybe he does. Maybe he does. I don't know.
Cause more controversy.
No, I don't know. I think Rassie's just got this way of being able to speak to his athletes.
No, no, like I'm saying, post controversy.
I hope for the, I really hope the guy can turn around. I mean Fassi, yeah, okay, also needs a little bit of a but also, you know, I think at the time where we were looking at Fassi, we were all like, hey, you know, this dude is, you know, this dude should be, you know, but all right. I just quickly went on to SA Rugby Mag, and I see that your friend here, is saying that Hartzenberg is part of Rassie's Bock plans. Don't know how he knows that.
That's interesting.
And I quote, Hartzenberg is part of Springbok coach Rassie Rasmus's thinking, having been selected for the SAA side at the end of 2022 and among the new group invited to the first Springboks alignment camp of 2024, he writes. Okay. That could mean anything. Belum.
But I think, when I told you guys that the culture that has been created at the Storm is under Mr. Baldilocks himself, that culture of next man,
yeah,
you fit in wherever you need, and suddenly players playing beyond themselves. Nobody would have thought that these guys would be so good. Like, I didn't expect these guys to be so good in the crisis that the Western Province Rugby Football Union was in a couple of
years. You are Western Stormers, yeah. Jeepers, going back like 25 years, pal. Dude. Lord, Western Stormers, remember those jerseys? Sorry, carry on.
Those are interesting. So, you know, the fact that now he's been highly regarded by a well-established journalists within South Africa, make these circles. And perhaps it's a leak, because these people tend to, maybe Rossi might have made a throwaway comment that somebody heard, and, oh, no, he's going to be part of the Springboks. Who knows? Remember, it's Ireland.
I mean, yeah.
Ireland is coming. Ireland wants to win the series to make a point. So we're not going to be just saying, hey, Suleiman, come make your debut. This guy, make your debut. I understand that there's going to be metamorphosis during this next 4 years. A lot of people who were in France and who were in Japan are not going to be in Australia. So that's why I mentioned the likes of Frank Cahorn and Edwell van der Merwe. But then you've got people like Kurt Lee Aronson, my goodness, who's now number 14, that is his jersey. And it goes back to the competition, man. The competition for jerseys in that Springbok team at the moment. Sure, that's all I can say.
Yeah, that's... okay, I was saying, Nizam... Okay, so Nizam is actually captaining the Vodacom Bulls against the Falcon in a friendly on Friday. He's been coming back from injury, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I do agree. I think a lot of guys are showing their hand. I think now that the one of the things that we tend to sort of forget about is we're no longer trying this thing of we must pick on form. You know, a lot of people say, no, you must pick on form, you must pick on form. No, we're picking about who can fit into the team dynamic. And if Sasha can do that, if Suleiman can do that, who are we? Who am I to say, no, that's not possible? Who am I? Fucking nobody, you know.
Was so hot at that European Tour of 2022 and probably the sort of thing that Eddie Jones spooked Rossi into saying, let's try and bring this guy into the Springbok setup right now in case he ends up playing for
England. Into the England setup, yeah.
Yeah. With the minute Eddie Jones opened his gap and screwed himself forever, we might have been shocked to hear that Sasha is moving to Bath and what. And he was one of the guys who deputized. He would have been the guy who deputized very well towards the end of that season when the Stormers won because there was an injury. I think it was Dan Duplessis who got injured, and Sasha played in the quarterfinal and semifinal. So, hey, these boys, no, man, it's so fun to see such guys at delivering and being so young and promising.
So, the line for Les Sharks v Les Stormers. The draw is 22. The Sharks are at 1.8.
Mm-hmm.
And the Stormers are at 0.48.
Yeah.
So the Stormers are going in there as favorites, the way I'm reading this. Oh, we can pick a whole... Oh, guys, you can pick a whole lot of things. You can pick... So the handicap, you can pick the handicap. Right, first try scorer. Any forward scrum... Oh, wow. So listen to this. If you pick... Sorry, you see, you're really not good at explaining gambling to me, because you know my hidden obsession tendencies. It's okay, I understand. It's fine. So, first try scorer, if I pick any forward, there's 1.7 on it. So if I put $100 and a forward scores, you're nice, eh? Nice. Now I get it. Why didn't you say this before? You see,
sorry.
Hey. Scrum, so you can pick scrum off. You can pick first stoppage in play will be a lineup. This is pretty cool. Okay, it's actually if you're an avid sportsman, this is pretty cool because you can just like guess certain things and hopefully it works out. First match try converted halftime. Okay, sorry, I got carried away there. So I'm going to go. I'm going to read you the lineup, and then I will. Alistair Vermaak, Joseph Dwebo, Fouché, Nietling Fouché, Andre Smith, Ruben van Heerden, this is the Stormers lineup, Marcel Tennyson, Evan Ruiz, nice to have you back, Hakjiva Daimani, that man is balling two right now, bro. Paul De Wet, Yuri Mati,
Leolin Zas. We need to also that Leolin part, but yeah. Sashem Monge Mozul, huh? What? You know why. You know why, but this Zas thing, you know why. Suleiman Hartzenberg, Ben Loader. The man's name is Ben Loader.
I've noticed the hue of the background.
No, I'm just interested that his name is Ben Loader, like Freeloader. Okay. Warwick Haaland.
He said it.
It's okay. Warwick Haaland also, I think is slowly, you know, through the game time is getting himself going, you know, and I think it's been a struggle because he's been trying to find sort of just a little bit of stability, you know, and I think he's got that at the Stormers, and you know, we know that Rassie really likes Warwick Haaland, because he talks about it, you know, and Warwick Haaland's ability is, you know, wide open, you know, he can do things. So, substitutes.
When he left Carry the on. Stormers, when he left the Stormers for France, he left as a legend, like the Stormers' greatest fullback, in just a matter of 2 seasons, alongside Percy Montgomery. That said a lot.
Okay, I'm not even going to wade into that one. And then under Hugo Fenter on the bench, Sti Sithole.
Not Sithole. There you go, Anna.
I said Sithole. I'm at the Stee part. Why couldn't they just tell us his full name, Stee? Aye. So who cares if he's got Sithole? We got that, but like, Stee. Okay. Brock Harris. Yeah. Salman Morat. Baller. Oh, you're a groot man. Salman Morat, groot man. Don't play. Ben Jason Dixon. Herschel Janchi is on the bench. Wandisile Simelane. Nice. Ooh, Angelo David. Yeah, I'm interested to see how he's going to go because I think this has also been a good move for him. I think the game plan, the back line, the way the backs play, the way the ball moves, I think he's going to light it up. You know, and he's got a motor on him, right? He's got a motor on him that when you compare him to other players, his motor is crazy. He can go, right? He really can go for. So it's going to be a good game. I don't like betting against the Stormers. Yeah, I don't like betting against the Stormers.
Because I said, okay, the Stormers have lost one game against South African teams since URC started. And I suspect that a rubbishly playing Sharks could be the first team to beat them in 2 years. I think the Sharks could be the first one to beat the Stormers out of South Africa.
And on that note, we have to end the roundup. Thank you for listening and taking the time. And, you know, keep it easy and don't at us. If your bets didn't work out, don't at us. Don't come at us. We no, you actually you can at him. He works there. And I know exactly where the company it's around the corner from that Moses Mabhida ting there. It's in the near. So me, you they can't get to me, they have to fly and get a visa, so it's fine. I'm
my
safe.
My friend.
Stay cozy, people. Stay cozy.
Shop. See you next time.
Oh.